You're about to hear my conversation with Justin Ferriman. He returns to the show and we continue our conversation about Justin's transition from founder and then exiting into becoming a coach for other founders. Let's get into it. Hey, here's my real-time-ish update for you, and I'm recording this one on May 6th, 2024. First, I just want to say that once and for all, the name of this podcast, I'm sticking with the name Open Threads. You may have noticed I had briefly renamed it there in early 2024. I was using the name Full Stack Founder. Well, long story short, I'm sunsetting that brand name and that website. It was a short-lived project that just didn't quite stick. So this podcast is back to its original name, Open Threads, from here on out. Okay, so as for my update, my main focus now continues to be instrumental products. That is my product studio where I partner with clients mainly on UI and UX work. And I specialize in designing modern interfaces for SaaS companies. And I deliver my designs in the form of coded HTML and Tailwind CSS templates and components. So that's the main service that I've been working with a couple of clients lately on. And it's something that I continue to really double down on the rest of this year. Other than that, I'm spending the rest of my time building out some new software products of my own to add to my small portfolio. My main SaaS product, Clarity Flow, continues to run smoothly with my small team, and we're always working on some improvements there. So that's my update for now. On to the show. So I'm about to roll the conversation that I had with Justin Ferriman. This is a continuation of the one that we previously published on this podcast. So this conversation was recorded on November 10th, 2023. And in the previous episode with Justin, we talked all about how he built up LearnDash and then sold it and had a fantastic exit from that business. Then he sort of explored what was next for his next chapter, right? He started to work on a SaaS product, but eventually found his way to becoming a coach for other founders. And we got into that whole transition process of going from founder to becoming a coach for other founders. It's a great conversation. Here it is with Justin Ferriman. Enjoy. You're coming off this, hugely successful exit. You don't need this business to work, and you don't need this business to be super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of where I got to. I was like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it. And so it's actually during this time that I was running things that I was having informal. I had people reaching out to me on Twitter or X saying hey, do you do coaching? Just randomly. I'd never even said that I was kind of doing it informally with some people anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was no, I'm not. But that's what really got me thinking more about coaching, because I love business and entrepreneurship and all that. But at this point in my life, maybe this will change, I don't know. But I don't want to be running a software, a product company. Let's put it that way. I was like, I've never done a service. I've never done coaching formally outside of when I consulted years ago. So I wanted to give that a shot. And it's been fun. I've been liking it a lot. And we can talk about my approach there, but it's
into it. So this is a few months old now that you're into the coaching?
Yeah, I started officially. And so what I did is I got certified through the PBCA, which is a coaching certification thing. There's several, but this one worked. They're like an invite only. They kind of look at what you've done. And if it makes sense, they try to have people with a lot of experience or deep experience in certain areas.
Interesting.
I wanted to get certified, not because I feel like it's a necessity to coach, but I was if I had some frameworks or some ideas that I could build upon, I think I'd like that. So I did that and I got some ideas and some frameworks, and that's been, and maybe a little confidence in doing that. And then in September of this year, I kind of let people know. I didn't even have a website when I let people know. I just tweeted about it, posted about it, and had a Google Doc that I sent folks. And that's how I started getting my first clients. There's a something called the know, like, trust list. And so you just kind of stick with people that know you, like you, or trust you.
Yeah.
I mean, exhaust that as much as you can and try to build that. So I was focusing on that piece before, like, any kind of outward marketing.
You know, this is super interesting. I love this podcast because it's like, I am literally doing that today. Like, nice. I wrote up, so I'm just developing like a new coaching offer, and I've dabbled in some coaching in the past with like productized services and stuff. And now I'm looking to do some more like product strategy, actually more like technical product work with folks. And that's exactly what I did. I wrote up a one pager and drafted it a few times, showed it around to a couple friends privately this past week, designed a new page for it. And literally this morning I DM'd probably like 30 friends in the industry. Like, hey, took a look at this. Like, I'd love your feedback on this. And if you know someone who might be a fit, I'd love an introduction. Actually, I mean, I'm going to send it your way. I would have sent it to you this morning, but I knew that we were going to talk today.
Yeah. I'd love to see it for sure.
It's just so cool how it's like real time, and that's exactly it. Right. So you put up together like a Google Doc kind of outlining your thesis around your coaching offer. Sent it around to some folks. Where did it go from there?
So the step, I guess that was step one, but step zero was I kind of thought about what I wanted to say on X, and I posted there. And then I wrote on my personal blog, which doesn't have like a ton of subscribers or anything. It's literally like sometimes I post about trips I take, sometimes it's business, but I posted there as well. And through those methods, I had people reaching out because I was like, DM me or whatever. So I got people, I guess, inbound interest. And I sent them that doc. So I was like, okay, yeah, here it is. And the way it outlined what I was doing, but I was like, free hour, let's just talk about your business and like experience it first. I'll tell you more about it at the end. If you want to sign up, cool. If not, whatever. Like, to your point, I think that's a nice approach to take, is like, I don't need to do this. I think, and I'm trying to do it differently than what, like, a lot of the common advice is like, hey, create something that you can turn into a course essentially and get this volume play and that. It's like, I'm doing very hands-on, very high touch. In fact, I'm like 75% full on my clients that probably will finish that in Q1 next year and just be like, I'm done. Cause I don't want to work more than, let's call it 20 to 40 hours a month on this. I want to bring the energy.
So I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how are you structuring it? What is kind of like the different spin on coaching? And also, when you talk about it being full, like, how do you define full? Like, what's your plate or your work that you're taking on there?
Yeah. So the way it's structured is it's three aspects. One is a one-on-one call with me once a month. That's like hour 15, whatever we're talking about. And we're going over challenges and creating some action items. Those are really like deep dives, and they can be high level in terms of like strategy, or they can be deep into, I'm creating a landing page. Let's talk about, you know, how to optimize it, because I've had experience there. Then the other part of it is a founder roundtable or mastermind or what have you, where the people I'm coaching, we together, we have a call and we do a similar exercise where everybody says kind of like, hey, this is a challenge I'm facing. They get clarification questions. We do like one round of clarification, and then everybody goes and says, if it were me, I would, and they would just kind of give their advice. Those have been really cool because I have these folks from different industries. The commonality being everybody's kind of a remote founder, you know, they don't have like a physical building or anything. And, you know, people that are in services have ideas that maybe aren't directly the solution, but they spark ideas for the product people and vice versa. And it becomes a really cool environment and I guess altruistic.
That's a really cool idea. It's almost like, it sounds like it's still mostly like a one-on-one coaching relationship, but they get the benefit of talking shop and getting ideas from the other folks that you coach. But I wouldn't, it doesn't sound like it's what people think of as like a group coaching program. It's still more like the element of like the one-to-one, would you say?
Yeah, there's an intimacy to it that's a little bit different. And it's not required either. Like, it's possible also to just have two one-on-ones with me in a month as opposed to that. But that there's people that really enjoy that aspect. But the third part that makes it very non-scalable is I give 24/7 access to me. You get my phone number, my WhatsApp. I have an app that you get, that I get messaged through as well. And we track action items there. And I answer any question that my clients have. It could be about, hey, I'm looking at two different email systems. What should I use? Like, I have a ton of experience there. If somebody had once they were picking up their daughter from work and they had an employee issue and he just kind of called me to get it off his chest and then maybe ask for my advice. I was like, okay, well, I've dealt with something similar. This is what I would do. So I make myself like kind of that person that they can just reach out to. Like, I wonder what Justin would think on this. And they take advantage of that, and I love them too. But that's why I can't take on a ton of clients, because that would drain me. And I want to answer those with like excitement and energy, not like, oh, another one.
Yeah.
So that's the third part that ties together that I've been receiving, you know, the one-on-one, the founder, and then just having me there anytime. And I'm pretty quick to respond, because I consider these folks, you know, friends, you know, more than just like a number that's in the course. You know, this is somebody that I'm working with, I have a relationship with.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I'm still kind of figuring my thing out here, but I'm definitely going to be leaning pretty heavily on asynchronous coaching. So like the two options would be like an async only option. And the other option is like that plus, you know, up to two calls a month, you know, obviously using my tool Clarity Flow for being able to like send and receive.
Obviously.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's sort of like a version of what have been doing for free with founder friends for years, like literally like swapping video messages back and forth, looking at each other's products, giving each other feedback, kind of collaborating like creatively, technically, strategically. And, you know, yeah, like you were just talking about, I'm curious to hear more about like your making yourself available. Cause as I'm like writing the copy for this page, I want to make it like I am available for, like, you can literally send me requests or we can collaborate asynchronously as much as you want throughout the month. You know, I'm thinking about like structuring it where it's like, we can work on like one request at a time. Like, we can't start a new request until we've closed the current request or whatever. But like, how does that actually play out in practice for you in terms of like fielding calls and texts and emails and things like that?
Yeah, it's with each person, it's kind of cyclical. Sometimes folks are going through something. I'll get a lot of messages from one individual or one client within like a 48 to 72 hour thing as they're kind of working through something. And then I won't hear from them, you know, until our next call. And I'm like, sure. Hey, how'd that turn out? I think as founders like that, you can probably relate. Like, sometimes there's just something that's just so pressing and that like, it's what you're totally immersed in for a week or what have you. So like in those moments, just having that outlet, like, okay, before I move on this, let me just double check, get one more opinion from somebody that's been there before.
You know, and that's where something like this is like so valuable, like to literally have a paid coaching relationship like this, as opposed to just mastermind groups or just being friends with other founders. Cause I've gone through this for so many years before this, where it's like, you know, I have really close founder friend relationships that I can rely on, like, good quality feedback. But when I'm going through something, if something is like happening this week in my business and I really need some help or maybe a therapy session or whatever it might be, like, there's always that hesitancy. Like, I know that they're running their business. I don't want to like disturb them with my shit, you know? So like,
yeah,
it like having a more formal advisor coach relationship really helps.
And if you're giving them money, they kind of owe it to you.
So. Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the part of the deal.
They're paying me. So I'm there for them. It's, you know, I don't do any like long-term contracts, just month by month. I mean, so far it's, that resonates with folks.
Yeah. Very cool. Hey, real quick, this podcast is sponsored by Instrumental Products. That's my product studio, where I and my small crew, we take new product ideas from concept to launched. I'm a full stack product designer and developer, and I love collaborating with fellow founders, creators, and SaaS companies to bring that spark of energy into new product ideas. Think of Instrumental Products as your shortcut to shipping that next idea and getting it into the hands of your customers as efficiently as possible. Got something to ship? Let's talk. Visit instrumentalproducts.com to learn more. I mean, you talked about keeping it to a certain size and management level for it to remain enjoyable for you. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, I mean, you have branded it under the name Bright Growth, you know,
yes.
Seems like it's sort of like its own thing. Is this like something that you could see yourself like growing even like beyond you into a larger sort of company, or is it going to remain more of like a lifestyle type thing for you?
Great question. Right now, just lifestyle, but I did brand it in the way with that thinking of like, maybe that will change one day. Like, I want that option. I don't have that desire, right now. But if it was just like Justin Fairman, I don't know. It's like, I'm not trying to be some thought leader, personal branding. There's nothing wrong with that, but like, that's not what I have interest in. So giving it a little brand, you know, something that I could maybe have, maybe there are some courses that I could add at some point, but I would probably do it different. Like a good example is I have these free hour calls with people and we get a lot of good stuff done and they're excited, but they're just not at that point where they're like, I don't know if I can justify spending on this because we're pre-revenue or whatever. Mm-hmm. It would be cool maybe if I had some kind of course or something that touched on these common themes with those folks that they could be like, hey, you know what? That's fine. I do have this and this could help you. Mm-hmm. That's more or less how I'd want to do it. And I guess with Bright Growth, a brand, I could do that. But right now, I guess I would say I'm just collecting data because I'm have those calls and I'm kind of trying to identify some themes. And if I want to put in the energy for a course, I'll do that. But honestly, it's like on paper, it sounds good, but to do it right, it needs to be, you know, a lot of effort. I'm like I said, like, I don't want to be consumed by this. Mm-hmm. I have other things I like doing.
Yeah, I love it. I guess, like, before we wrap it up here, like, how are you marketing this, if at all? Like, are you getting these requests for potential new clients to fill up your roster? Are they still coming, like, kind of organically through your network, or are you doing any sort of like active branding or growth for mm-hmm. this thing?
I guess all of the above. I'm fortunate that LearnDash had the presence it had. So if somebody stumbles across, like, I do get some cold outreach now and again. This is kind of fun. I started blogging on Medium because I was like, oh, I could start a blog. Obviously I have experience there, but I was like, let me try blogging on Medium. And the amount of reach I get without having to worry about all the SEO and all that stuff is crazy. I've gotten clients from there. I had somebody that reached out to me. They'd even want the strategy call. They reached out to me like, hey, how can I sign up? Signed up with them. He's a great client, super engaged. Amazing. It was just from an article. I had a call this week with somebody up in San Francisco, has a great product idea, is pre-launch. Says he's really interested in joining. We'll see. But he found me in the article too. Like, I had no idea who he was. So like, Medium is a really cool place for getting your name out there. But aside from that, the biggest area, the most effective and impactful is, I'll call it warm outreach. I find people that maybe I've never even met them, but I know their product and I'm like, man, I could help them. I'll just message them on X. And that's how I've been messaging X, not LinkedIn or anything. It didn't really work for me. I tried it. And I just, like, very casual, right? Like, I'm just like, hey, you know, like, do you want to have a conversation? I love what you're doing. I think I could help in some ways if you're open to it. Here's a document that explains what I'm doing. And there's my meeting invite is in there. So let's jump on a call for an hour. You know, there's no obligation. I'm not going to hard sell you. I hate being hard sold. So
just, I love that. I mean, are you getting, like, receptive, like, people are receptive to that because they know you, they know LearnDash, or is it still pretty, like, nice?
That helps for sure. But not everybody is, they may know LearnDash certainly before my name, but in some cases I've just reached out to people that maybe aren't even WordPress. And just like, hey, you know, like, this is what I'm doing. They'll research me afterwards and just be like, oh yeah, I think I've heard of it. Yeah. Okay. And they still want to have the call, which is cool. But other people, they either know me or LearnDash, or it's like through a friend. And I try to just be a part of the community on X in any way and help out and post usually daily just to be active. And sometimes I get found that way through just posts I make, and then people will reach out to me. So it's just all about relationships. I'm not trying to hard sell. I'm not trying to do anything that's scalable. I mean, when I do these messages, I'm not using any software that automates it. Like, I am looking at the company.
Yeah.
I am writing a unique message and I'm sending it.
You know, it really just speaks to the value of just doing interesting things and being well connected in this industry. And it's not like something that you can just do overnight or even do within usually a year, but it's like over time in this career. I mean, between building and growing and selling companies or just having a podcast and putting yourself out there. It makes it easier to DM people and have connections kind of pop up.
It like really that, does. You know?
I just wanted to real quick, like touch back on the Medium thing. That's super interesting too. So in the previous episode of this podcast, I spoke to Jay Klaus, who really is focused on like creators and creator type businesses. And I've been following his content a lot recently. And I've been really thinking a lot about this, and it's almost like, it's weird how like our whole industry has like optimized for like SEO on our own domains, you know, and there's obviously a ton of value to that, but
yeah,
but the reach that you can get if you really optimize and put a lot of effort into one of these social platforms, whether it's Medium,
yeah.
I mean, like right now I'm really researching a lot into YouTube and thinking about putting a lot of new effort on YouTube next year.
That'd be great.
Because it's hard to do it well. It's a lot of effort and a lot of time, but the YouTube algorithm just serves you up to a growing audience, like at all times, you know? So if you can do it well, if you could put in the effort, like, yes, it's a platform and yes, like they're going to run ads on your stuff, but like that's how you can actually like connect with, like not just relying on word of mouth or a network. It's like, that's how you can start to grow, you know?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And as a WordPresser through and through, you know, I know the value of writing on your own website. I know as of today, in this quarter of the year, there's been all this fluctuation in Google's algorithm and the search results. Like, it's been nice not have to worry about it because Medium still does well. And I, you know, not every article I hit is obviously or write is going to be a hit. Sometimes I just got lucky. I remember I wrote one and it still does well for me. Is about like how to get to 1 million ARR in your startup. So I had done that. So I wrote an article about it. Medium has their own algorithm where if they see there's interest, they'll boost it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with YouTube. So it got boosted and like the views shot up, like more organic traffic. Cause they give you the breakdown where people come from on platform, meaning on Medium or from like Google or other places. Like it was like, I'm in search results. I'm like, all these places I could never get to.
Yeah.
Have I been starting and slogging away on my own site with a blog? It just, to me, I'd never done it. And it was like more or less an experiment. And I was like, all right, this experiment's working.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep doing it.
It's like so basic and so simple, but it's like, it does reward quality and effort, you know, like literally if you just put a lot of care and effort and solve a problem for readers or for viewers, like the platform does reward that. Whereas if you do the same effort and publish it on your own blog, you need all these like technical wins. You need backlinks. You need some level of luck. Mm-hmm. You need to compete against the front page of Google. Like it's, you know, it just seems like an uphill battle if you're trying to grow an audience from scratch, you know?
It is. Yeah. I would recommend people check out Medium for sure. I also tested the long form on X because with the no characters pretty much, and I mean, whatever their character limit is, I wrote like a blog post in X, which I was like, I don't know if this is going to be obnoxious or not, but I'm going to try it. And the visibility that it got was huge. And I got like 2 meetings from that just because at the end of it, I was like, hey, if you're interested, like book some time with me. And two people booked time. So for me, I was like, well, that was worth it.
Yeah. And for this type of business, like a small coaching thing, like 2 is all you need, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice. It just kind of filled in the pipeline, which has been, it's been fun, you know, coming from the product space and now in the service, it's a little more high touch, a little bit different of an angle and marketing, which I love. And so it's been a fun experiment.
Very cool. Well, Justin, I mean, super interesting story. It's been really cool to follow your work, especially in the last like 2 or 3 years here. So I'm just excited to keep following along. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm glad we got this time to chat and talk shop. I'm surprised we haven't talked shop more often.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again. So we'll get all your stuff, you know, linked up in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
That does it for today's episode of Open Threads. What'd you think? Let me know on Twitter or X. I'm at CastJam. And you can find the full videos for all episodes of Open Threads on the YouTube channel for this podcast. That's youtube.com/openthreads. One more thing. I'd really appreciate if you'd give this podcast a 5-star review on iTunes. That helps a lot. Thanks for listening. I'll see you on the next one.